And it's the Table Breakers, they've done it again.
Is this the biggest panel we've ever had on, Jason?
One day you have a guy throwing maybe mid-70s, and next week you have a guy throwing 55-mile fastballs.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Ball Caps and Bagpipes, Scottish Baseball Podcast with myself, John McKellar of the Glasgow Comets.
And I'm Jason Duer, former league president and Baseball Scotland Hall of Famer.
You are indeed, Jason. It's good to be back tonight. We are joined by two very special guests. We've got kind of a packed show ahead. We are joined by both Sophie Hollis, the chair and founder of the Glasgow Sunflowers baseball team.
Hi, guys. Also... Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sophie. We're also joined by a living legend of the Scottish game and Andy Sweeney of the Glasgow Galaxy. Helps out with the coaching of the Glasgow Sunflowers as well. Good to have you back on, Andy.
It's always fun.
It's great to have you here. We're going to look at the last 2 weeks of Baseball Scotland. We're going to look forward to this coming Sunday. We're going to keep an eye on Edinburgh Baseball's prodigal son, Gabriel Rinconius Jr. I hope you've been keeping tabs on his exploits out there, Jason. And got a bit of an announcement to make later on in the show as well. So it's a packed show and we're going to get right in about it.
I'm looking forward to this. Nothing on Gabriel this week. I apologize as I didn't have time to get anything on there. Work is killing me. So we'll focus on the Scottish League. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Not much time there. So although I did see he did pick up his 17th stolen base of the season recently. So
yeah, there's no place like home, Jason. So we'll focus on Scotland today. Let's get into week 7 scores. In the AAA division in week 7, the Breakers defeated the Devils 19-4. I believe that was their first win of the season in AAA that they picked up in that game. The Comets went up to Aberdeen and won 15-1, the final score up there. And the Cannons continued their ridiculously hot start with a 9-1 victory over the Galaxy in Edinburgh. In single A in week 7, the Edinburgh Knights defeated the Breakers by a score of 5-2 in a big game for those two teams. So great momentum for the Knights to build in that one. In AAA in week 8, the Diamond Devils followed up there. I do apologise. The Breakers actually beat the Devils 19-4. I've gotten that wrong in week 7. So it was 19-4 Breakers. The Devils did, however, pick up their first win of the season this past Sunday. They beat the Oilers 19-3 in Edinburgh. The Breakers defeated the Galaxy in Glasgow 12-2. And it was just the two AAA games this past week. But in single A, the Glasgow Comets went through to Edinburgh for the first of a doubleheader of sorts against the Edinburgh Knights. The Comets doubling up with the Knights this coming Sunday as well. But we'll get into that a bit more in just a jiffy. So it was 11-6 Comets, the final score, and a massive victory for the Comets that keeps them undefeated so far in single A. So those are the scores for the last couple of weeks. Jason, any? Did you catch any baseball in Edinburgh the past couple of weeks?
I did. I went down yesterday. So I didn't get to catch the single A game. I did miss all of that there. Went down and caught the triple A game there. And it was interesting to see how it was doing there and to see how things had progressed for both teams there. Both teams were, you know, we knew we'd be at the bottom of the table there. But for the few innings that it did catch, it did look like a very competitive game that was going on the field.
Yeah, from what I've heard as well, yeah, the scoreline of 19-3 sort of flattered the hosts a wee bit. It was kind of a closer game than the scoreline would indicate, which is often the case in Scotland. All it takes is one or two bad bounces and an inning can go horribly awry on some of the fields that we have. But yeah, congratulations to the Devils for getting that first win of the season. Obviously, the Oilers still looking for their first victory of 2023. Let's hope they're not waiting too much longer for that. We've already got a few wee comments in. Brian Clark, who we're going to talk about in just a bit, he says, "Sweeney, do a twirl so we can see the back of your shirt."
Beautiful.
I like it.
Hopefully that wasn't just my ass then.
Starla Fernandez says, "Big love to you, Sophie and Sweeney." And Andrew Knox Watson, he says, "That's one good looking jersey Sweeney is wearing." So that's the, of course, Glasgow Sunflowers jersey. We're going to move into our interview with the founder and the chair of the Glasgow Sunflowers, Sophie Hollis. Thanks again for joining us on the show. Would you like to first off start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, of course. Well, firstly, I feel a wee bit out of here because I don't know anything technical about baseball whatsoever. I'm literally
neither does sweetie.
My name is Sophie. I started the Glasgow Sunflowers back in November 2022. So we've been going for 6 months strong at the moment and had our first game against the Leicester Diamonds on Saturday, and it was the best day of my life. And I speak on behalf of many of the team when I say that. I think everyone's just like still living the high from it. It was incredible. The team is for women, non-binary, and all trans people. Anyone can join at any time, any ability. We're completely free, and our equipment is free to use as well. So the kind of philosophy is it's a home for people who want to play baseball and make friends.
That's excellent. And to just touch on Saturday, I think you guys can be super proud of the atmosphere that you managed to foster. First ever friendlies, it was 2 5-inning games. And, you know, the place was absolutely mobbed full of people, and surprisingly, not all of them were Sunflower players, considering the size of your squad. But that must have been a proud moment for you to look out and see so many people cheering your side on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the whole vision of the team is that we support one another and we stand up for each other's rights and we back each other, no matter who you are. So I think that really came across on Saturday. And I think we captured, we might not have the technical play down totally, but we've captured the feeling and the enthusiasm for the game, which is the most important thing at this stage. I think the rest can come later. We're just vibing.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a bit about how you got involved in baseball. I believe it had something to do with not the movie, but the TV series adaptation of A League of Their Own.
Yeah, the TV series. So have you seen it? It's the 2022 TV series. It's on Amazon Prime.
I've seen the movie, but I've never seen the series.
Yeah. What do you think, Sweeney? Sweeney's seen both. I've seen both.
Sweeney's shaking his head. I'm very curious to hear what he's going to say here.
I watched the entire TV series looking for that line, "Don't swing at the high pitches. I like the high pitches." And I stayed for the show. So it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess baseball isn't necessarily the main point of it. It's like more of a side note. But they did say that there's no crying in baseball line. So they did get that one in. So I watched that series and I absolutely loved it and just was like, changed kind of my drive for what I wanted to do in Glasgow, like what I wanted to give my energy to. So I thought we need a team like this in Glasgow and just kind of went from there. Like I got in touch with like an LGBT sports charity called Leap Sports. They kind of work with the Scottish Government on their like inclusion policies. So I got in touch with them and they actually put me in touch kind of via Fiona through to Sweeney. So, and it all kind of went from there.
So Glasgow Sunflowers then, the side is for women, non-binary and trans people of all sorts. Why was that safe space needed, do you think? Why is it necessary to have that sort of side?
I think there's not necessarily one reason. There's a lot of different reasons which are different for different people. I think for queer people, and I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, obviously, but for me, it's like finding that place where you belong and finding people like yourself, and that representation is so important. And even though it's getting better with representation in sports for queer people, it's not where it should be. And so teams like this, it feels like we're breaking the ceiling or whatever the phrase is, but it's actually just a very like our expectations and our goals aren't that high. We just want to play sport and we want to feel like we can play sport and be supported in that. Yeah.
So you formed the side initially back in November 2022. The leaps and bounds that you've come on just since then, in about 6 months to Saturday, your first friendly games are incredible. You have, what is it, 40 odd players or so?
Oh, way more than that.
I think you had around 40 present on Saturday. What are the membership numbers actually like?
Sweeney would be better at answering that than me.
Regularly at training, we get about 30 people, and that's both Tuesdays and Saturday sessions, which is just unbelievable when there's only two or three coaches there to try and figure out what we're doing. The highest attendance we've had at a single session was 53, I want to say.
Damn.
And I believe the group chat of interested people that come along on occasion, regular players, regular attendees, and just super fans is around, I think, 120 right now.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. The numbers are brilliant.
You have That's to mute the chat. Like, there's so many notifications.
I think that's a good problem to have.
I think I got 40 messages on my drive home today. It was about 12-ish players playing a game of catch in the park. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
So, Sophie, you got involved. You got through to the Glasgow Galaxy via Fiona. And then, obviously, Andy, you got involved. There's one or two other members of the Galaxy that help out with the coaching side of things. Just how important have they been to the setup and getting the players ready for events like Saturday?
We couldn't do it without them. Like, that's the bottom line. Like, I think that's something that there's cis straight men coming into this queer space. Like, we're able to collaborate and like learn from them and learn from each other. And that's been like incredible to witness. Like, I can't even put it into words what the coaches, Sweeney, Gavin, Noxie, like, and all the other people that have come and gone, you know, like we wouldn't be where we are without them. And we love them so much. And I tell them that all the time, and I will continue telling them that. We hope that they're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying it.
That's excellent.
I think Sweeney is enjoying it.
We really are. We're selfish people at heart. If we weren't enjoying it, we would have given up long ago. And we're having more fun than them most weeks.
So anyway, well, that's really sweet. Sophie, let's talk a wee bit about Saturday. You hosted the Leicester Diamonds. It was two five-inning mm-hmm. games. Not sure how close we got to the five innings in either game, but it was such a fun day at Queen's Park Recreation Grounds. Talk to me about how you got that set up. How did you first come into contact with the Leicester Diamonds?
Sorry if my connection comes and goes, by the way. I'm just on the Premier Inn Wi-Fi. Just a wee heads up. But yeah, I got in touch with the Leicester Diamonds just through their Instagram. I think we found each other through there, and they've been so invaluable to us. Like, they helped us write our constitution. They've sent us a bunch of resources, like answered so many of our questions. And obviously they made that trip, which was over 6 hours on Saturday morning, just to come and play us and give us that opportunity to have our first friendly. I think it was really special. It was with them as well, because they're quite a similar, well, they're the most similar identity to us in the UK. And so it was a real privilege and one of the biggest joys of my life to share that moment with them. Yeah.
That's excellent. Now, you mentioned that they're a very similar side to yourselves, and that they are for women and LGBT people primarily. Am I right in saying that this past Saturday was the first baseball game of its kind in the UK?
I didn't know that. I heard someone say that, but I guess so. I don't know.
Just claim it and own it. So we had the first game in the UK for that. Not a problem at all. So just own it and just go with it until someone tells you anything differently.
Okay. Yeah. What Jason said. We're going to claim that.
All right. And from here, where do you foresee the Glasgow Sunflowers going from here, Sophie? You've had those first couple of games. It was a really fun day at the park. What comes next for the Sunflowers?
It's not up to me. I think it's a team decision. We make all of our decisions as a majority vote. So I think people just want to play. Like, we're having such a good time. We want to play. We want to play more games. Want to just keep growing the community. And I think that's the first priority. People have just got a real, like, we've caught the baseball bug and we want to keep going. So when I think there will obviously come a time where we have to make a decision, like if we join the league. But yeah, as I said, it will be everyone gets a say in it, and that's the most important thing, I think.
So in the meantime, though, you do have a tournament, I think, coming up.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a wee bit?
Yes, it's on June the 17th. It's at Tallcross Park. It will be Edinburgh Knights, Tayport, Edinburgh Rays, and us. We might have a few teams playing like we did on Saturday. But yeah, it should be a good game. It'll be our first games with other Scottish teams, which will be really fun.
Yeah, you must be really excited for that. And you say that any kind of decision beyond this year, that's going to be put to a majority vote. So there's a possibility you might end up facing myself or Andy on the field at some point.
I think you should make a comeback, John, just for the game.
Hold on, John hasn't retired again, has he?
There's always a bit of retirement talk every year. Sorry, I interrupted the flow.
No, I'd love to play you, John. We'd love to play you. Let's do it.
Yeah, you've picked the right time to come along because I'm pretty broken. My body is basically kaput at this point. So it'll be, you'll probably walk over me. But thanks so much, Sophie. That's all from me. Jason, do you want to ask Sophie anything in particular?
I do. So obviously you started the club. What was it like to walk out Saturday morning knowing what was about to happen? What were your thoughts of that day? You know, were you excited? Were you thrilled to see it all come together? I mean, it's always fun as a coach to see what you put forth to actually be happening right in front of you.
I was really nervous, to be honest, and I wasn't expecting to be. It felt like, because I used to play competitive sports when I was younger, it felt like I was kind of back to that age and like walking out and seeing all that crowd. And we weren't expecting that many supporters either. So I think it was just like unreal. But I remember, because I was playing in the first game, and I remember just telling myself to just enjoy it, just thrive in it, you know, just like have the best time. Like, don't let the nerves get to you, which they did when I was batting, but like I got a good third base dive, so that was the main thing. But yeah, I just wanted to enjoy every moment, and I think all the players did, and it was incredible.
And Sophie is responsible for the first ever out for the Sunflowers.
Oh, was that me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's correct, yeah.
That athletic dive was you. And I'm hoping you got it on film, John. I've not checked, but I'm hoping you have.
I don't think it
was a force out of third, I believe.
Yep.
Yep. Made the dive to your right and tapped third base. Yeah, that was the first ever. I don't remember that being the first, but yeah, that's amazing if it was, because yeah, that was definitely caught. That was caught on film.
Wow. That's so cool. What was that on your live stream? I need to watch it back.
Yeah, it would be the live stream went a bit mad eventually, but it was great to be there. Just the atmosphere, so many people there, to be part of something that's a first is always quite exciting as well. I think, Sophie, you can be so proud of what you've built so far, and I think that there's so much potential there for the Sunflowers to grow into a real force for both positive change in Scottish baseball, but just also to bring a splash of sort of energy to the league that I think we can always use. So yeah, welcome to Scottish baseball, and that's going to be all for yourself from me. We're going to chat with Andy Sweeney for a bit, about your experiences, Andy, with the Sunflowers a wee bit more in depth there. What are your recollections of the first time the Sunflowers came onto your radar?
It was a message from Fiona into a group chat saying, "I've just got this message. I'm away this weekend. Who can help?" And I looked at the message and went, "Well, it's around the corner from my flat. It sounds like fun." And then the morning of, got a message from Sophie, which said, might have been the night before, "Just double checking you're still coming tomorrow. All 20 of us are happy. Can't wait to see you." And I just said, "What? 20? I was expecting 6. I was expecting like a standard Tuesday night training session or something with us, but no. 20, I think it was 24 or 25 who turned up at the first session. So it was a frantic, panicked message into the Glasgow chat saying, "Can someone come down and help me out?" And I'm pretty sure the first session was Gavin and Noxie, and we couldn't get rid of them. They're just like bad smells. They've really indoctrinated themselves into the coaching setup. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. For a lot of the winter months, we had a lot of, I generally put a weekly call out to the Galaxy and the Comets asking for a little bit of help. John, I think you turned up 1 week, got very excited about donning a long brown jacket, standing in the park and pretending to be your favorite Yankees coach. But yeah, we've had huge numbers of people helping out, huge numbers of people putting in their time and effort for it. And yeah, the Sunflowers and me, we're just really, really appreciative of everyone who's helped us. Because yeah, as good as we were at the game, the only way is up from here.
Indeed it is, Andy. I do actually have one last question for Sophie that I've missed out, if you'll pardon me. The Sunflowers, the name, I can't believe I forgot to ask you about this. How did you come up with the name?
Oh, I wish I had a really good answer for that. I had a bunch of ideas in my phone notes, and the Sunflowers was just the one that my mum liked the best. So
that's a great wholesome answer. I love it.
That's gonna be mum's answer, my best. Yeah.
Always listen to mum.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Maxine knew, so yeah.
See, I thought John was going to ask you the loaded question of what's your favorite MLB team and why is it the Yankees? I think that way you're heading there.
Saving that for the end.
I know.
Do you have a favorite major league team?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say the Blue Jays because I've seen the Blue Jays more than once. And I used to live in Canada. Are they MLB? This is literally how much I know about.
Thank God. No worries. Excellent. So back to you, Andy. Talk to me a wee bit more about the sort of coaching aspect. How do you approach Sunflowers training, maybe as opposed to Glasgow Baseball Association training sessions? Because I would imagine that two vibes, two setups are rather different, not just in terms of sheer numbers of people, but how you approach it.
So I think that was one of the really, really good things about the way the Sunflowers started. I think of the 24 that turned up, 3 had maybe ever played baseball or softball before. So it was complete standing start. No one knew anything. So everything I was saying, everything that we were coaching, everything we were laying down, everyone was picking up. Everyone was listening to every single word we said, and everything was new. And we could start, there was no bad habits to start off with. The way to not overwhelm everyone with the rules, I started sprinkling them in each week. We kept it simple, we kept it fun. 90% I think we wanted to keep it fun. And it was just kind of adding a new rule every week, adding a new aspect to the game. I think we were probably 2-3 months in before we were stealing. I think we were a month in before we started pitching practice. We were probably a couple of weeks in before we were really working on mechanics of swinging a bat and fly balls, which still scare me because quite a few Sunflowers have been hit in the face. So I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong, but at the same time, some of them have picked up absolutely fantastically. And Chloe specifically shouts for more and more balls to be hit in the air so she can run after them and catch them. And there's so much enthusiasm that a lot of the time it's a case of, so what do you want to do today? And then I try and work it out between the coaches, between the numbers, trying to find out drills and activities that it's maybe not going to be too labor intensive for me, and putting it more on them so I can then float and help out and give hints and tips and how to get things done. And even better when I start seeing Sunflower start to coach each other. We're 6 months in and I'm already starting to see Sunflowers taking others aside and saying, oh, by the way, this is how this is done and this is how that is done. And I'm hearing borderline the exact same words I said 3 to 4 months earlier repeated onto the next person, and yeah. It seems to be working.
That's tremendous. How do you balance both the Sunflowers coaching activities that you do with your sort of main occupation in baseball in Scotland, which is obviously as part of the both playing staff and also doing some coaching with the Glasgow Galaxy? How do you manage that balancing act?
The Sunflowers have very kindly moved their training sessions twice for me. They started off training on Saturdays, but 1 in 4 Saturdays I have to work. So we moved them to Sundays, and then we had the conversation of what are we going to do when GBA sessions start back up, and the Sunflowers very kindly moved them to Tuesdays and Saturdays, which in a wonderful turn of events between the explosion of numbers we've had at Glasgow Baseball and the explosion of the Sunflowers, I'm now coaching baseball or playing baseball 5 days a week.
That's amazing.
And yeah, drag me onto this and my day off.
No, Andy, has coaching the Sunflowers and managing that workload, has that made you think at all about how your future is going to shake out involved in your involvement with Scottish baseball? Will you prioritise one or the other? Or do you plan to just keep us going as long as possible?
My hope is, and this is very selfishly, and I've said it to quite a few of the Sunflowers, my hope is to get the Sunflowers into the single A squad next year, or the single A league next year. And chatting to Paul at the Baseball Scotland Awards do last year, he was genuinely asking me, what's the best, how do we improve the single A league? And at that point, I bit my tongue. I hated to say it. And I said, the only way to do it is Saturday games. Single A needs to be a different day from Triple A. And that would give them more time to develop, more time to get innings. But I would never want to ask coaches give out even more time. Now, as someone who's already given out that time, I'm more than welcome to push that really hard. But yeah, my hope is that we can get the Sunflowers in the league. My hope is that we can figure out a way where I can still be with the AAA squad for the Galaxy and still coach, manage whatever I end up being for the Sunflowers on any other day of the week that I can.
Excellent. And now the rest of the way in 2023, how are you feeling about the Glasgow Galaxy's progress so far this year? And what about yourself in terms of your playing?
I'm awful this year. I'm hitting a zero so far. This is not good for me. It took me into last week to hit the ball forward rather than behind me and in play. So
we've all had seasons like that, big guy. I had a season similar to that myself last year. Batting 1,000 this year though.
See, that's just showing off.
I've only had one official at bat, but still batting 1,000.
I can't say that. but my hope is we've been struggling as a team. We've got a lot of new players. We're trying to figure out our identity. We're starting to get there. Tayport, it was the fourth inning and it was still 1-1. Like, we were close and we were in that game. And then it was a few mistakes, a few errors. I literally made a throw and error that scored a run later on. And it was just, we need to find our groove. We need to get into that wee spot because we've got a good team. We've got a solid defensive team and we've got some deep pitching with Liao, Jacob and Elvis. Gabriel wants to pitch as well. So we've got some fantastic deep pitching. It's just a case we need to get the bats aligned. We need to get rid of the errors, and hopefully we'll be make a push. Don't need to be good until the end of the season, right? That's how it works.
Well, I mean, yeah, the postseason probably is the most important, but, you know, in order to get in, obviously, in Triple A, you need to be in that top four. So do you feel that you can make it there this year? Obviously, you missed out on the postseason on the last day last season. Do you think that the Galaxy are going to make that?
Yeah, because your Comets just couldn't beat the Breakers for us. Just couldn't beat the eventual winners. All we needed was a win.
I've had this from Jake already, and now get it from you.
It's okay. You threw the game. You knew the dangerous team that we were. It's fine.
I didn't even play in the Triple A game. I played in the Single A game, and I was trying my absolute damnedest to win. It just wasn't to be that day. But hopefully, I'll see you at the field in the coming weeks, Andy. And I think we've got a postponed derby from a couple of weeks ago to make up. So there's plenty more Glasgow baseball to come this year.
Yeah, God knows when that's going to be held, though. Have you had checked our schedules? Two of us do not have an off week except planned off weeks.
Yeah, I think there's been talk of moving at least one of the games to midweek. We'll get that. We'll get it in somehow. We've got more comments here before we move toward the close of the show. Ali says, even the umpires had a blast. Now, in the game that I streamed, that was the first game. On Saturday, Ali was behind the plate and served as a crew chief. Brian Clark was the field umpire. I believe that they switched roles for the second game. Yep. Is that you, Andy?
wasn't me, but yeah. For the game at the weekend, huge thank out to Ali and Brian. They did an absolutely fantastic job umpiring. Shout out to CJ, who came up in his Sunday finest to commentate and DJ the game for us. John Linton taking all the photographs under the sun. If anyone's been on the sunflowers on my Instagram, there's an absolutely fantastic photo of a dog pile at the end of the game where everyone's having a great big group hug and my head's head and shoulders above everyone else. Clearly, John Linton has told me that there is a whole run of photos of that developing, and it is one of the funniest runs of photos you've ever seen. So I'm really looking forward to that. But everyone who turned up to the game, everyone who helped out. Thank you, Edinburgh, for lending us their backstop. I'm not looking forward to driving back to Edinburgh to re-deliver that because that barely fit in my car in the first place. And, of course, Glasgow Baseball as well, because I stole a lot of stuff and only asked permission for some of it. So.
And, John, thank you so much for streaming.
Mm-hmm.
That's no problem at all. That's what I mean. I was happy to be there. I was thrilled to be part of it. Great memories, and hopefully we'll get a chance to run it back and do it again. Got more comments here. Jason West says, Sophie, tremendous work with what you've done to date. Huge welcome to Scottish baseball. Look forward to playing with or against you all. Sorry, let me get this right. Against y'all in the future.
That's
coming from Jason West. Brian Clark says, Noxie definitely enjoys it. He was getting very animated as a base coach, I think, at times during the game. Chapman.
Nothing holds that boy down. When he starts going, he goes bonkers.
Yeah, that's very true. Wonderful moustache as well. Ellis Chapman says, yay, sunflowers. Hiya, Ellis. Thanks for joining. James Sehar, welcome to the stream. Thanks for joining us, Jim. Fiona Brambley says, seeing the game on Saturday was so enjoyable. The vibes were immaculate. Well done. Fiona, I think a kind of a phenomenal role model for women in particular, playing baseball in Glasgow. Fiona, since the day and hour that she stepped into the Glasgow setup. Brian Clark says Linton got the out at third on camera, so there's apparently a still image of it. So we'll wait to find that. Brian also says Chloe is a star, and Brian Clark also says completely agree that we should be pushing for Saturday A games from next year. Then AAA can go back to 9-inning games. I'm not sure how much of a mad dash it'll be to go back to 9-inning games in AAA, just for sheer pitching reasons. I think when we used to play 9-inning games, pitching became a bit of an issue, especially like toward the second half of the season. So it could be something that's worth discussing, but I'm not sure if it's something that there's going to be all that much support for.
Selfishly, that's when the Galaxy thrived. It was always those last two innings when people were tired. My first season, I hit 500 on the year, including two doubles. It took me five seasons or six seasons to ever hit a double again. Like, yeah. Nine inning games worked for me.
Yeah. Well, you guys had a bit of an embarrassment of riches when you had Luke Powell on the mound. The guy's like a literal machine. He's like a Terminator. The guy pitches the same way in the ninth inning as he does in the first and the second. So you definitely used the nine innings to your advantage for sure.
He taught everything he knew to Jacob at the time. He was teaching everything he knew to Elvis at the time.
This is true.
We were very spoilt with Luke when he was around.
Indeed, yeah. Do you have any favourite memories of Luke before we wrap things up, Andy?
To tell the truth, it was always just a bit of coaching he gave whenever you went up to bat. And it was, imagine something the size of a grapefruit in your perfect spot and you're hitting at nothing else but that. And it was looking around all the other Galaxy players going, what on earth is a grapefruit? So he had to keep changing it to personal pizza or something deep fried. And then we all understood.
Excellent. Steve D says, glad to hear you're working, Sweeney, hard. I don't have anything else for our guest, Jason. Do you have anything else you want to ask before we wrap up?
No, that was good. That was really interesting to hear how it all went there. And I'm glad to see that we've got more involvement with the league. And obviously, Sweeney, you guys are doing a great job of the coaching. So please keep it up. I'm excited to see you guys. And Sophie, I'm sure I'll see you on the field next time soon. So looking forward to that. And yeah, it's fantastic news.
For sure. And Jason is available for ceremonial first pitches if you need someone.
We'll kick Queenie off. No.
Never. Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise when I was nominated for that on Saturday, by the way. I was still putting the field up.
That must have felt great, although I would imagine it would feel fairly nerve-wracking to have to do that because you want to make a good account of yourself. You don't want to make an arse of the first pitch.
I threw a strike right down the middle. I was fine. No warm-up or anything.
In fairness, you did.
I will say, Ryan said it was a little high, but I am also my height, so I pitch for me.
Yeah, I mean, that depends on who's at the plate as well. If Fraser McLean was at the plate, yes, it was high. But, you know, if you're at the plate, like you say, yeah, that's a strike.
Middle, perfect.
Brian says Luke was always coaching the other team's pitcher as well. That's very true, actually. He was very generous with his coaching, much to his teammates' chagrin, I think, at times. But thank you so very much, Sophie, for joining us this evening. Thank you, Andy, for coming aboard. It's been a pleasure chatting with you both, and hopefully we'll get you back on sometime. I will see both of you at the field at some point.
And if anyone wants to join the Sunflowers, come join us. Tuesdays and Saturdays at Queen's Park Rec Ground. Mm-hmm. 120 is not enough. We need more players. I did not have enough of a headache trying to field 40 players during eight innings. Give me more of a headache.
Our group chat is too quiet.
You want to talk about headache, Sweeney? Try announcing it when halfway through the entire lineup changes. And no one tells you until about two outs into the inning.
If it helps, it was all written on a whiteboard. If you just had a wee wander over, you could have seen it. And in fact, I sent you the first three of the four lineups. Oh no, two of the three lineups, and you never read them. So.
Okay. I must have missed that. Oh well, it's done now.
In your defense, you were using your phone to stream. It's a bit difficult to see the lineup when I send you a picture of the lineup. Yeah, I realized that half after the second photo.
All right. Thanks again, both of you, for joining us. We are almost done tonight. Before we go, we'll get into the schedule for this Sunday. Jason, we have coming up in week 9. Comets at the Cannons in Edinburgh. Going to be a tasty one. I'm going to be through in Edinburgh with the Comets for that. So I'll hopefully catch you at the field.
You know what? I might have a free hour or two to go catch that game. That could be interesting.
Yeah, you should do. It'll be good to see you. The Oilers are coming down to Glasgow to face the Galaxy, Andy. What can we expect from this Sunday?
For me, it will be a lot of drinking in the on the Isle of Bute because I'm going to a stag do. No, I think this is one of two games I'm missing this year. And the other one is because of the sunflowers. And I've not had the heart to tell John Tafe yet. So
he's watching live. He knows now.
Right now? Well, the date needs confirmed, but it is the planned away trip to Leicester that may be getting away of one of our away games, which might not be the worst thing in the world.
All right, man. And in single A, we've got two games as well. We've got the Comets and Knights running it back from last week. Comets took the 11-6 win this past Sunday. We're going to have to wait and see how it unfolds this coming Sunday in the second game. But always a great game when those two sides meet. And the Breakers are down in Glasgow to face the Galaxy in single A. Interesting set up there in that the Oilers are coming down to play in triple A, but it's the Breakers coming down for single A. I'd assume they're going to meet up somewhere down the road and come all together.
I'd imagine it'll be at the Horn. They'll all stop for some bacon rolls and get together, develop an evil plan, and then come down and play some baseball.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. But yeah, that's your week 9 schedule. Baseball Scotland, we're over a month and a half in now, almost 2 months into the season. It's been an interesting season, to say the least, so far, and hopefully that'll continue. I'm just going to wrap things up here tonight. Before we go, drop the pen. Before we go, we do have a wee announcement regarding the future of the show. Jason, we've been doing this since 2019, the 2019 season. It's been such a thrill to be bringing Scottish baseball to both a domestic and international audience. We've done the Negro League fundraiser. We've been involved with other podcasts and stuff, like Matt down in England. And the announcement is that following the end of this season, after 5 seasons, I will be departing the show to take on other projects. And that's where the exciting part comes in. That's where you get the chance to change the game. We would like to invite anyone in Baseball Scotland that wants to get involved in the hosting of the show alongside Jason from next season onwards. If you want to get involved and host it with them, do get in touch. What we wanted to do for the remainder of this season is ask some folk to come along and, you know, host an episode with us, see how it goes, and we can get them sort of bedded in before the end of this season. But yeah, this is my last season on Ball Caps and Bagpipes. And thank you, Jason, for making it one of the great thrills of my life. Thank you to everybody who listens and watches as well. It's going to be a great second half of the season. Brian Clark has already nominated CJ Campbell of the Galaxy. I'm not sure what his shape is like.
But... as well. He's not very talkative and he doesn't see many games, but he's ready. He's got a bat in a provocative position and he's ready to go.
We're taking the show in different directions after John Lewis, apparently.
Do get in touch with us if you have an interest in hosting the show alongside Jason from next season onwards. We'll get you in to co-host an episode with us. We'll talk you through all the different sort of setup aspects and all that stuff. But yeah, that's the announcement.
That's a big one. Yep. So John's leaving us, and then we're going to put whoever wants to do it on the spot because I will be in America and you will be filling my spot there and working out there. But that's all right. Anyone's interested, please get in touch. Doesn't matter where you're from, anywhere in the country, we're happy to have you come on. And hopefully the banter's as close as it can get with John, if not better. So that's going to be a tough one to follow.
I don't think it's going to be hard to top my banter. My banter is not my biggest strength when it comes to podcasting. But that's us done for the night. We don't have a Gabriel Conyers wrap-up. Thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you, Sophie and Andy, one more time for coming on and chatting with us about the sunflowers. Exciting times ahead for everybody involved.
Thank you,
Bobby Bonilla is all that remains to be said.
You're going to have to take that with you when you leave, John. So
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's my thing. That's my thing.
So
that's my thing. Bobby Bonilla. Love that guy. Especially since he won his round one of the Bump Bailey Wax Pipe Heroes Tournament of Awesome. Back in 2021.
The only one.
Yeah. It went from being the first ever to being the only one ever. So yeah, Two Strike Noise, get that sorted. Get the second one up and running before I leave. But yeah. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much.